Our New Testament reading comes from, our gospel comes from the book of Luke in chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Hear now the word of our Lord. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed with me. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend. Yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks, who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now we're turning to our epistle lesson in the book of Acts in chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. This is a time when Peter and John have been arrested and or held and seized and then released after the miracle of the Lord intervened. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign God," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, who you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Then after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And this is the word of our Lord. Thank you. our Father. You pray that each Sunday. Our Father. But do you know how extraordinary that is, that you can say our Father to Yahweh? Yahweh was never spoken out loud by a Jew. And yet you can come to Him and call Him Pater, as the Hebrew word is for Father. In the Scripture, it's an affectionate word that Jesus tells you to come to God the Father. Our Father. The Reverend David Luce says, Jesus invites us to address the Holy One of Israel as Pater, Father. One addresses God that is akin to a way a child would ask a parent something that the child is in dear need of and desire. End quote. We see in this parable that the neighbor goes to his friend, and the word that it is a friend is significant. It was not a time when people lived next door to people in isolation, as we too often do today. But his neighbor was his friend. And he came to his friend at midnight, the Scripture says, because he had had a visitor, an unexpected visitor, or he would have been prepared. And when he asked for 3 loaves, we think that sounds like a large quantity, but what they're talking about are the typical Eastern loaf of bread, which is about that high and about that big around and everything. And it's typically what you would serve someone for a meal. And he comes and asks for 3 loaves of bread because he doesn't have anything. In this culture, it is imperative that when a person comes, at that time they could not call ahead, when a person arrives, that you will be the proper host, that you will give them and show them hospitality, that you will provide them with food to eat, water to drink, that you would wash their feet and everything from their travel, and that you would give them a place to rest. It was unthinkable to do otherwise. And so when he went to his neighbor and asked for this, even though it was midnight, he came. And more importantly, he came and boldly called out to his neighbor to do this. And his neighbor knew that he, even though it was late, and he would complain and say, hey, the kids are already in bed with me and everything. What are you talking about? It's late at night. The door is locked. And you want me to come down? And you could see the guy just standing there. Yeah, I want you to come out. When we hear this parable, so often this parable is taught to talk about persistence. It's to talk about that we're to go and we're to persist, because we hear in this to knock. It talks about that you're supposed to knock and you're supposed to seek and you're supposed to ask. But this parable is not about begging. It's not about being persistent, not about demanding. It's not about that at all. And we know that because we are told that the man got up and gave him the bread because his neighbor came so boldly, confidently. So we can know that the Scripture is not about persistence, that you keep it up, you keep asking the Lord, keep asking the Lord, keep asking the Lord. The Lord hears you. The Lord heard you the first time. The Lord knows what you want. What this is telling you, what Jesus is telling you, that unlike any of the teachings in the Hebrew and the Hebrew culture and the culture of Israel before, Jesus is saying, this is a new relationship with God in my name. Through me, through the blood I'm going to shed for you, through this new relationship because I am the mediator. I am here as your advocate. Because of this, you can come to the Father in my name boldly, without fear, confidently. You can come to the Father with great confidence, with great boldness. You can come to the Father. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is. You don't have to wait till Sunday morning. You don't have to come and ask the preacher to pray for you. You can get on your knees and you can pray and ask and pray to God, and God hears your prayer. There are indeed parables that do talk about persistence, and they talk about the persistence, but and the need to seek the Lord. But you have to remember that is not for the Lord's benefit; it's for your benefit. It's for you to continually seek the Lord. It is for you to continually pursue a closer and closer relationship with God the Father. The persistence is what you need to do. You need to pray persistently. You need to pray consistently. And you need to pray, and you need to pray resistantly, resisting all the temptations that are around you to stop you from praying, to stop you from being confident, to stop you from being bold when you come before the Lord. This man went to his neighbor. He had no doubt in his mind that his neighbor would provide for him. It didn't matter that it was midnight. And you remember, of course, that in the times before electricity, in the times before of even plentiful fuel for lamps, because the Bible spends a lot of time talking about the value of the fuel for lamps, the oil for lamps, and the need to provide for that. This was the time when people rose with the first light and settled in for the night with the darkness. This was the time when people didn't get upset about daylight savings time. This was a time when people didn't have to worry about that they could depend upon the seasons to lead them in their activities. When there was a need to plant, God gave them longer days. When there was a need to harvest, God gave them the coolness in the evening. And when there was a need, to depend upon your harvest, God gave them the shorter days. God provides. God always provides. You just sang about that. God will take care of you. Do you believe that? I know that it may seem that you can say, and rightly so, that you have prayed to God and God does not seem to answer. How does that make you feel? How do you feel when God, when you take the trouble to get on your knees, to set the time aside, to have some time alone, and you pray to God and God doesn't answer your prayer? You're in good company. Not because God doesn't answer Bill's prayers, and although he does not always answer my prayer in the way that I want. But don't you recall that Jesus Christ got down in the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed to God to ask this to pass from him? That if it be God's will to let this pass for him, let him not have to go through with this suffering. Let him not have to go through and take my sin upon him, to take your sin upon him. Jesus Christ asked God to let this pass by him, let this cup pass from him. And yet not my will, but thine be done. Did God answer that prayer? No, he did not. Not the way Jesus asked. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus was blamed for all the sin that we have and will commit. Jesus went to hell for the sin. He paid the punishment. Jesus rose again from the dead, and His blood covers your sin today. Because God did not answer that prayer in the way that He asked. So don't be so concerned. When it seems to you that God is not answering your prayer, it's not that God doesn't care about you. It's that God loves you. And God knew what was best for Jesus. And God knew that it was necessary for Jesus to go to the cross. And God knew that it was necessary for Jesus to bear that cup and to take that blame and to be blamed for that sin and to die in that way and to rise again. And God knows what is best for you. God always hears your prayer. My friends, it is important to spend time in communion with God. When Nicodemus came to Jesus in the middle of the night, what did Jesus tell Nicodemus? You must be born again. We know this as repentance, as turning around. But when you turn around, when you change direction, you're changing direction to go somewhere. Where will you go? You don't change direction to stand still. You don't repent to stand still. You don't repent. You don't ask God to forgive you to stand still. You ask God to give us to lead you. To show you where to go, to show you what to do, to live your life in the way that God wants you to live your life. And when we come to God in prayer, when we pray this, our Father who art in heaven, when we pray this, we say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. When you do that, you're committing to follow His will. To allow yourself to be led. There is no reason to be saved for nothing. We are saved for a purpose. We are saved to serve God. We are saved to be His disciples. We are saved to do His good works. We're saved to bear fruit. We're saved for a reason. When you can vegetables and fruit, and you preserve it. Are you preserving it for nothing? Do you just preserve it and leave it there forever? No, you preserve it to use it. It's preserved for a purpose. And you have been preserved for a purpose. You have been saved for a reason. So the question is, are we living out that reason? Or are we allowing ourselves to be saved for nothing? There is a purpose. Our prayers don't get answered the way that we want because God knows His plan. And God knows your place in His plan. When the soldier gets the command to march forward, the soldier doesn't say, "No, no, no, I want to hear from the general first. Where is this going to go?" No, the soldier marches forward. And when you sing, "When the Saints Come Marching In," you're not going to be saying, "Okay, first I got to find out where we're going to be marching to and how we're going to be doing it." You march. God has preserved you for a reason. God has preserved you for a purpose. Your prayers are how you learn the purpose. It is how you commune with God. It is how you continually have a relationship. It is how you continually stay in the will of God. It is how you get your marching orders. God's will be done. How many times have you said that? And yet we pray that our will be done. Jesus said, let this cup pass from me. You know, relieve me of this. He says, and yet, your will be done. And we need to pray, and yet, your will be done. And we need to be willing to accept God's will, and willing to accept His marching orders, and accept Him to not only to preserve us, to preserve us for the use that He has intended. And we need to come to Him with confidence. We need to come to Him knowing that He hears our prayer, knowing that He loves you, knowing that He allows you to call Him Father, and He calls you My child. And how much more could He have done to show that He loves you? What else could He do? God created this world. Did you ever build something? Did you ever plant a garden? Did you ever prepare the soil and plant a garden? Did you do it for nothing? Did you just plant it and then never come back again? Did you just plant it and let it grow to weeds? Well, that's not what God does, wants to do with His creation. God has created you, created the world, created me for a purpose. And He wants us to pray and be in communion with Him. And to have confidence and boldness when we pray. And when He tells us what He wants us to do, He wants us to accept it as one accepts a decision from someone in authority who you absolutely, undoubtedly, undeniably know loves you and only wants what is good for you. It is so important, my friends, that we prepare our lives to be a fitting sacrifice for God, to be a living sacrifice for God, to be holy, to walk holy, even as He is holy. We need to come to God in prayer every day, all the time. We need to seek God's will every day, all the time. We need to have confidence that God hears your prayer. He hears it every time. He hears it every day, every time you pray. And He knows what is best for you. Amen.